This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, it's C-Sparky, 5 or 1250 AM, The Fan, beautiful Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He is Dwight Albrecht from beautiful New Berlin, Wisconsin, over there at New Berlin Bowl. Spare time pro shop, and go get your balls drilled over there. Do all that fun stuff there, and he'll help you out. He's the best. Phil Brilo, $2 Phil. He travels the country and does streaming of bowling and YouTube videos and everything else. Follow him on Twitter at Brew City Bowling. Follow Dwight at Dewey300 in case I didn't say it. Dwight, or I should say Phil, it looks like you're in a hotel room possibly. Where is Phil Brilo today?
I'm in the lovely Detroit suburb of Taylor, Michigan, because the World Series of Bowling started a couple of days ago at Thunder Bowl in Allen Park, Michigan. Tonight they finished up the qualifying for the Roth-Hillman doubles. Some pretty solid teams making it and some pretty solid teams missing the advance to match play tomorrow. EJ Tack at Marshall Kent, former champions.
Yep.
Out. Wow. Tommy Jones, AJ Johnson missed the cut. Another one, Matt Ogle, Sean Rash did not have a good day. So, but there's some pretty good teams there with faces we've seen on TV before for Roth-Hillman, like Simonson, teamed up with Don Barrett. We've got Jason Sterner, Tommy Smallwood. Both of these guys love this bowling center. They've won under the roof here at Thunder Bowl. And here's a surprise, Bill O'Neill and Jason Belmonte.
Yeah,
gee, there's something new. So, but on top, after qualifying, Trevor Roberts and Patrick Dombrowski. So we'll talk a little bit more about Patrick's week last week. But he came out of the gates tonight, 299 game two, had the front eight. The last game of qualifying, and just really held his partner in there. And your leader is going into match play tomorrow. So they'll tape the show on Saturday. It won't air for a week. We won't give you any spoilers or anything like that because I'll be here for it. But it's going to be a pretty darn good Roth-Hillman double show. And it was good seeing Marshall Hillman here today as well. Good to bring the namesake in. And he was out talking to fans and players and everything. It was pretty neat.
Is he going to be in the TV booth for this?
I would think he's going to be up in the TV booth for it. Yeah.
Thank God.
At least for a game.
Let him do play-by-play if it's not going to be Rob Stone. Seriously. Let him do play-by-play.
I'd learn the Marshall B. Color and let I've had Randy actually do play-by-play back in the extra frame days. Randy switched over. Marshall's really on the color. I'd go with Marshall on that.
Dwight wants to know about D-Ron. How did he do coming off of the USBC Masters win? Is he out there for doubles or no?
Yeah, he bowled doubles with Ronnie Fujita, and D-Ron had some trouble getting out of Vegas. It took him 17 hours to get from Las Vegas to Detroit. Flights were all messed up and everything, and he actually had to fly all the way out to New York City and then fly back to Detroit in order to be able to get here on time. So, yeah,
That's horrible.
Not fun. At least he didn't have to bowl the PTQ for the tournament because there was a PTQ on Tuesday. He didn't have to bowl that, so at least he had some time to get here because being the new Masters champion, he's now exempt for at least another year or so.
That's good. Absolutely good. What about the turnout in Detroit?
Solid turnout last night was PBA League. They had one league session, round 11, and round 12 will be on Saturday and Sunday on FS1 this weekend. That'll kick off the World Series of Bowling coverage. And a nice crowd out for the league, and a lot of them grouped around the Motown Muscle. They wanted to make noise, but they didn't want to make noise because they kind of had the teams kind of grouped together. So they were, it's hard for old bowling fans to shake the, hey, let's go, let's cheer, let's do that. It was just tough for them, but they cheered on the Motown Muscle, and Motown took it too straight for their match. And Motown's getting close to locking up their spot going to Maine.
Go ahead, Dwight.
Yeah, any sight of our old friend from the New Berlin area, Kevin Frew? I know he lives in Detroit, and he's been on a few shows in the stadium crowd.
Yeah, I haven't seen Kevin yet, so.
Okay.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the USBC Masters. Dwight watched it. I had it DVR'd, so I finally got around to watching it at the end of the day. First of all, Jason Belmonte, the little feature they did on Belmonte, I thought was very cool, very well done. I don't know whose idea it was, but kudos to whoever did that because, again, he's one of your stars. Now, what they should do is because that one went so well and looked so well, they should do the same thing for EJ Tackett. Be in his bowling center, a life in the day of EJ Tackett, whatever. Do the same thing for Simo from the bunker or whatever. Like, do some more of this stuff than, you know, you've done in the past. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah. It was. But the thing is, especially with Simo, he just had that article written about him in Rolling Stone.
Correct.
You know, and so now you can come up with some video to even follow up on that article and just follow him around.
Yeah, I think it would be good. I think any type of stuff where you can get behind the scenes of a bowler, Phil, I think is good. They have you. So why don't they use you and have you just trail around a guy for 24 hours or whatever the case may be, edit it together and get it on a TV show in, say, 2 weeks? I mean, my God, you're there already. You could have just trailed around, for instance, Deron, who is there, Deron, who's there, and be a part of that whole thing. I think that could be fascinating, like how he's doing a week after winning USBC Masters and all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a matter of if I'm doing that, someone else needs to do what I'm doing. Already on YouTube, we've already had the league recap from last night. We've already got that done up for everybody to watch. During the PTQ, Anthony Neuer and Tim Foy Jr., we had them both wired up for sound, followed them around for all seven games of qualifying. They led the qualifying for the PTQ. Unfortunately, it didn't carry over to the tournament for him. But, doing a lot of that. The open mics are neat because you really get to hear the bowler's thought process. And then with the doubles, the back and forth, it was really good. Like how these guys are thinking, playing the lanes, what do we do when we move? And then it was a unique team with having a lefty and a righty on that too. So they're trying to watch other bowlers and who was here and who was there. It was pretty cool. If you haven't watched the PBA stuff on YouTube already for the World Series of Bowling, go to the PBA YouTube channel, like it. They've had some great stuff on social as well, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I had one of my clips from covering league last night come alive because when AJ Johnson locked up the match for the Las Vegas High Rollers against the LAX, he turned around and he did the baby Belmo boom.
Nice.
right. Yeah. So and I talked to him real quick after it was done and said, what was the boom? And he had a nice reply for it. He goes, I had a chance to lock up the match. Jason and I, was just giving a buddy a little grief. So a little fun. So, they talk, they know, and they've done stuff together. And so it was fun. So it's just a matter of, if more people respond to these things on YouTube, then the PBA is going to make more of a commitment to, hey, we can do more of these things.
But you know what, Bill? I'll tell you. Okay, but this is my issue. Okay. All right? This is my issue. My issue is the PBA doesn't do a good enough job linking to the YouTube videos to their social media accounts and promoting the fact that those YouTube videos are there. So your core people are already going there, right? Yeah. Your bowling dorks like us already live on that channel. But for those casual fans that don't know about it, because I bet you a lot of people don't know about it, use your social media platforms on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, whatever, however they're going about promoting themselves, and promote the YouTube videos. Hey, check out this cool video of blah, 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 recap of last night's, team event or whatever, and promote it on social media with a clip or whatever. Like when I put up different podcasts or whatever the case may be, sometimes we'll put up a clip of about a minute or whatever. Put up a clip of about a minute of whatever the YouTube video is and put it out on social media and try and drive traffic that way. It's not like the PBA Tour doesn't have a big social media following. They do. So utilize it.
Yeah, they got a 250,000. They've gained 100,000 followers on Instagram since January 1st. That's up to 250,000 followers on Instagram.
It's wonderful.
Yep, that's huge. And that's how you grow it. And that's how you get the younger people.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the first thing. I think they deserve credit on that Belmonte thing. The second thing, Man, wasn't it nice to have Rob Stone back? I mean,
first notes.
Man, oh man, Dwight. What did you have in your notes?
Big bold letters. Rob Stone is back. And just the interaction between him and Randy Peterson, you can see how happy Randy is again.
No doubt.
I mean, nothing against John Fanta, but there's chemistry between Rob Stone. And again, now that all these guys that bash Rob Stone, now that they've seen John Fanta, you know, or someone else come in, you guys better be pretty happy Rob Stone is back. I mean, the guy is truly, truly funny. And what I love about Rob Stone is when he comes to Milwaukee, where does he go? Howler House. He wants to be with his people. Yeah. How much more genuine of a guy can you be than that? Come on.
You know, that's the thing too. When Fanta says stuff, there's not a peep out of Randy Peterson.
No,
nothing. He just starts talking about whatever he wants to start talking about. With Rob Stone, you can literally hear him belly laugh. Like, he gets Rob, they get each other. But if you go back to when that relationship first started, I don't think it was that way. But over the course of time, it grew to be that way. Yes. And it's really, really good. You know, and even if Rob Stone makes a blunder here or there or whatever else, Randy kind of points it out and they kind of move on. But the entertainment value is there. Like, it's not even close. Everybody loves that dude. When he walks into a bowling center, fans, Phil could tell me if I'm wrong, but back when I was going, World Series of Bowling, people loved Rob Stone back then. He was just starting out, walking around with his backpack on or whatever. I can only imagine what it's like now when he walks into a house.
With bowling and Rob Stone, Rob Stone has, I think, come perfectly around to knowing when he can make it irreverent about what's going on and be very reverent when it needs to be reverent. And he's really fine-tuned it. And I think Randy's helped him along the way, to be honest. I mean, when he started calling bowling when it was back on ESPN in, what, 2013, 2012? I mean, Rob was, you know, Rob went in just whole hog wanting to learn, wanting to know what's going on. And there were some points in time right there where sometimes, you know, the reverence wasn't always 100% on it. But nowadays, I mean, you can't go wrong. The days where people still want back in the day when it was Chris Schenkel, Nelson Britton Journal.
Yeah, they were great.
It was perfect for the sport back then.
Yes.
But with pins flying around the way they are now and stuff like that, I mean, you need the energy to go with the energy of how the pins are leaving the pin deck.
That's what Rob and Randy do. Yeah. And it's a different demographic. You got a lot more younger people, I think, watching for Rob Stone and the coolness and the funniness of Rob Stone. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate to say it, back in Schenkel and Burton's era, it was very serious. The telecasts were very serious. It's very drama filled. Burton always kept you on your seat with the drama on how he called the shows.
But you also had characters too. You had Marshall Holman. You had Pete Weber. You had more characters back then than you do now.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Yes, you did. It's just that was their style of calling the show, though. And I think Randy and Rob look at it as more of entertainment, more of a comedy act, if you want to call it that. But laughter is always the greatest medicine out there, and people are going to talk about it. And they're even, I mean, we're here talking about the USBC Masters, but I mean, I laughed out loud a couple times on the PBA Elite League from the night before, too. There were a lot of funny bits during that. The Stu Williams and Tom Hess belly bump. I mean, come on. Anyone's watching that. I mean, you're going to be cracking up laughing at the screen.
No doubt. Yes, 100%. And that's what the sport needs more of. I mean, think about it, Phil. When he came up with ham bone, I think Randy Peterson was ready to slap him upside the head. Like, what do you mean ham bone? What are you talking about? And right. that thing caught on to the point where people are holding up signs, wearing T-shirts. They had a song, ham bone song, I think they made at one point. I mean, it became a thing. I thought my kid went four in a row is ham bone, and he goes by it, too. It was masterful the way that spread. And as soon as that spread and caught on amongst fans, that should have been warning alarms going off all over PBA offices of, that's our guy. We need him going forward. We have to figure this out. I determined earlier today that if I win like $1 billion or something, I personally will write the check to have him on every show of the PBA does going forward. I will outpay soccer and everybody else. And he is going to call all these shows going forward. And then he can rest and relax the other months when he's not doing bowling. Because he's going to make so much, he won't have to work the other day, other months out of the year. I swear to God, like, it was just so refreshing. It just was. Yes. I enjoyed it so much. Okay, so we don't have to go here, you know, shot by shot or whatever. But no. Jason Belmonte, what happened there in the 10th frame when he leaves that split and he's like, I should have stopped. Was there a noise in the crowd? I rewound my DVR and I went back and I'm listening. And I was like, well, Rob wasn't talking and I'm listening. And I was like, I didn't hear anything in the crowd. And Belmonte didn't call anybody out in the crowd. So I was trying to figure out what exactly happened that he kept saying to himself, I never should have shot it. I should have stopped. What happened?
It was a noise, but I've heard three different stories. I heard it was something in the arcade that was left plugged in that made a noise. I heard someone dropped a phone on the bleachers, which will make a noise. And the other one I heard was somebody's phone went off, like they didn't turn their ringer down or something. I don't know which one of them is true, but there was some chatter on social media about it between, you know, like some players' wives and that type of thing. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what happened, but if you go, and I haven't watched the whole thing yet, I watched part of it. Jason Belmonte does his own vlog on YouTube, and he has a really phenomenal wrap up to what happened in the Masters show. And I'm not going to, like I said, I've watched most of it. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody. Take the 15 minutes out of your day in the next couple of days and watch what Jason had to say about what happened to him on the TV show. He goes out of his way to make this vlog for his fans. And I told him when I ran into him yesterday, I said, I think this week was one of your best weeks of vlogs you've done ever. So the people that help him out with it do a phenomenal job. And he doesn't have as many subscribers as a Darren Tang or a House or something like that. But I think that's going to start changing pretty soon.
Again, it has to be promoted, right? Let's take the Bucks, for example, right? Mm-hmm. And that knucklehead, Patrick Beverly, right? I mean, he literally does it as a bit, right? Hit up my pod, whatever the case may be. He says it all the time. When you hear the introductions, like on the radio or whatever else, it says, you know, from wherever, I played at Stanford, right? I'm Brooke Lopez. And he has, I'm Pat Beverly, follow my pod or hit me up on my pod or whatever. He's always promoting the podcast. Like, it's a running bit. He always talks about his pod in every interview he does. He's always promoting it. Literally, Belmonte should be almost doing the same thing.
Oh, he is on his Facebook page and everything. Yeah,
there's not a lot of cross
promotion. Oh, on TV.
TV. Gotcha. He interviews with Kimberly Pressler every time he's on TV. And it should just be a thing. He should just go up to Tom and be like, Tom, look, I'm going to promote this every time I'm on TV to try and grow this. And you know what Tom's going to say? Sounds good. Like, he's not going to say no to it because it grows. Right. It grows brand. It grows the sport. It grows everybody. And if it's as good as Phil says it is, then obviously that makes sense at the end of the day. Dombrowski is a guy that has come on here this year. Older dude, been bowling regionals for a while. Really good, obviously, regional bowler. He's not the character that Pete Weber is, but like the way he bowls and kind of goes about his business kind of reminds me of Pete a little bit. And I don't know if it's just the way he releases the ball, his shot, whatever it is. But every time I watch him, I think I'm like He's just real nice and easy. Reminds me of Pete Weber a little bit. I'm probably crazy in that watching him bowl, thinking of Pete, but that's kind of what I think of when I watch him bowl. Dwight, does he remind you of anybody?
Well, he's been on TV before.
Yes.
And Phil will probably correct me on this, but wasn't he on the Masters Masters a couple of years ago against Sean Rash in a match?
Last year, I thought it was Parker. Parker or Sean, one of the two. Yeah, they had the extended show last year. They had the losers bracket. Yeah, they had two shows for the Masters, and he was on that one as well. So yeah, I mean, I've seen Patrick for so long. Yeah, I
agree with Randy's comment that he's probably the best non-traveling PBA player out there. I mean, the guy's a shot maker. He's all business. You're not going to get a lot of entertainment value out of him unless you're really into his shot making. Both him and D-Ron were shot makers. You know, I got a lot to say about D-Ron when we get to that match.
Right.
But Dombrowski has had very good success going up against the pros. And I guess it was his business that is the reason why he doesn't full-time tour. But they went into it on the show that he recently was let go at his business. So we might see more of him out there now. But, I mean, he's a shot maker.
You know, the funniest part was one of the shots in that final match where he didn't trip a four pin, and he goes, I usually trip that. And I guarantee you, anybody that knew Patrick Dombrowski was laughing their backsides off. And tonight, he had 299 and left the four pin. So he walks back off the approach. I got my camera in my hand. I look at him, and I go, man, that's like twice in a week. You're starting to lose it. and he laughed, and he went along with it. So his personality comes out if he gets to know you a little bit. And I think if he makes more TV, I think that part of Dombrowski's personality will come out a bit more as well. I mean, I see him in a lot of regionals that I cover and, you know, some of the tour stops, some of the major tour stops that he bowls. The personality's there. It's just, once again, you got to make it visible. Wow. And sometimes when it's once a year, it's tough to make that personality visible.
Now, again, I mean, you always talk about Cooley having this personality. It's like watching paint dry on the wall. Watch this dude bowl. I mean, there is absolutely nothing with him. Nothing at all.
Yeah,
I mean, cold as ice watching this dude bowl. Right, I don't know how he gets a fan base. I really don't. Unless, like, you're into tattoos. Oh, he's got a tattoo. I got a tattoo. I'll roll. I don't understand it.
I've been waiting all week to tell you guys how many times during that match was he called the assassin.
Yes, he was. Yes.
Yeah, they didn't, of course, say silent assassin. But who was the guy that tagged him the silent assassin earlier this year? Or last year, and he didn't like that comment.
No, he did not.
I mentioned it to him, and he goes, sometimes nicknames should just be left alone.
Right, correct. So it's not going away. But what he doesn't understand is nicknames will help make you famous. Nicknames will help put you on the map, dude. You may not like your nickname, but at least people know who you are. Because other than that, they're not going to know who you are because you don't give them a reason to know who you are. Phil says he's funny. Well, by God, please, can you show us something, some type of personality when you're on TV?
Right.
Please.
Right. I know, but the cool thing, I think it was Rob that called him the assassin. I'm like, holy crap, Rob must be listening to our show.
Don't get your hopes up on that. Maybe a coincidence. we'll go with coincidence on that one for Rob. But again, I mean, it's just Belmonte to me looked, dare I say, younger? Like, I don't know. He looked relaxed, right? Like, chilled, like, just like he wasn't feeling stressed or the way of the world. I mean, there's some years you look at Belmonte, you're like, dude, he looks like super intense and like just tightly wound, I guess you could say sometimes. And on this show, he looked a lot more relaxed. And even after the first win, he was talking about how dramatically different, you know, the shots are on both lanes. And he's like, hey, you got to really focus when you're up on the right lane to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing on the right lane and that you don't do on the right lane what you're going to do on the left lane and get all screwed up. Like, to me, that's great insight, right? That's letting everybody in at home know that they're really different and everything is different and you have to be in the correct mindset depending on the lane you're in to make sure you throw the right shot. And if your mind is wandering, you're going to look stupid at the end of the day, Phil.
Right. Well, I remember back to Delaware, the last tournament before they had the break. Remember how bad that left lane was?
Horrible.
It was so visible to everybody. Ugh. If you were a casual viewer, you didn't know the subtleties of the difference between the two lanes on TV at the Masters. So to get that explanation from him, I thought, like you said, the insight was there. And all of a sudden, well, now people are going to pay that little more attention to what's he doing? Is it, where are his feet? That type of thing. So, yeah, it's not always obvious why they play the lanes different. And to get that explanation right from the horse's mouth, I think that just adds to the value of everything during the podcast during the TV show.
That's really what screwed Cooley up at the end of the day was that left lane. He was having all kinds of problems with. He didn't trust it to go out right. He kept pulling everything across the left. And you talk about Dombrowski and his deal. That man carried more light hits than anybody on that TV show the whole time, Dwight.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He did. I put in my notes, but then I also kept thinking during the week, wow, if Belmo gets past Dombrowski, does he actually beat Brooker? You know, D-Rod?
I don't know.
So, yeah. You know, I mean, we'll never know, you know. But, I mean, the whole show was just a great show. I'm very anxious to see the numbers on this and the viewership because so many people are talking about it and so many good feel-good stories with this D-Rod. You know, I never heard of him before this, but how can you not fall in love with this guy? You know, that's the thing after watching that show and, you know, and how he acted and his message, you know, I mean, and of course set history, the third African-American to, and on top of it, win a major. So many great stories came from this show. Getting back to the pairs though, did they use the same pair of fill that they used for the PBA Elite League the night before?
Yes.
Did you also notice, we talked about this on the show also, that the right lane had a soft head or a double bounce to it. Barnes picked up on it.
There were several pairs at Suncoast that players were, you see on social media, they talk about, oh, I'm on the trampoline pair. And there were three or four on the match play side. Once the tournament got done with qualifying, they didn't use that entire side that the TV set was built on. It's 32 lane. It's exactly like the old South Point Bowling Center. Okay. That Spark is familiar with. Yep. 32 and 32 with the runway down the middle for everyone. And so once they got into the match play of the tournament, that was just on the TV side. They didn't have any cameras on Bowl TV covering the low side of the house because they had everything set up so they could cover every match during match play. So I couldn't, you know, was that the only pair in the house that had that bouncing head problem? No.
Okay,
but
so hold on a second.
Know where they are.
Hold on a second. I want to interject here quickly, Dwight. Mm-hmm. I want you to explain, if you can, please, what the hell you're talking about as far as common bowler is going. What is he talking about? I didn't notice anything. So what exactly is happening?
When the ball comes off the hand, it goes into the heads, which is the first 15 feet, let's say, from the foul line to the arrows. Some centers, even in Wisconsin, have the heads double bounce, the ball double bounces. So instead of the ball kind of going into the lane smoothly and you don't hear the ball go boom, boom. On the right lane, you heard that, boom, boom. And Barnes picked up on it and made a comment about the ball bouncing during the PBA League match. And so I was just curious if they were on that same pair for the Masters, if they used that same pair for the Masters. So it's just that panel is not supported good enough underneath, that there's a little trampolina type of effect. And so when the ball hits it on that steep of an angle, it's initially double bouncing a little bit.
How does that affect the shot differently than if it doesn't?
If it's bad enough, it can push the ball off line because it's airborne. So it can. There's a house in Oshkosh that has that in a lot of the pairs there. So you got to, for a bowler, I think you just have to lay it down a little smoother, closer to the lane, and not loft it so far out onto the lane. So it's an adjustment I think some of the pros have to make for it. It's the differences we always talk about in this show from house to house and center to center and lane to lane.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He is Dwight Albrecht. Follow him on Twitter at Dewey300. He is Phil Brilla. Follow him at Bruce City Bowling. You can follow me at Sparky Radio. All right, let's talk about the winner here, right? You brought up earlier if it's Belmonte. I don't know this guy like you, Dwight. I don't know this guy. Phil obviously knows him better than probably us. I don't know if he gets rattled by facing Belmonte in the championship. I don't know how his headspace is facing Belmonte. Facing Dombrowski, nothing to be scared about there. You know, he's got more TV experience than you, obviously, but I don't know if there's an intimidation factor like there probably is with a Belmonte or a Tackett or somebody like that.
Well, let me go on that right away with, we mentioned Dombrowski, best guy not on tour. Back-to-back years now, he's won the Regional Players Invitational in Las Vegas. D-Ron has seen him there. D-Ron's been there. A lot of players have seen Dombrowski in that event. To go back-to-back years in that event is it's almost amazing. I mean, yeah, you don't have the top 50 guys on tour there, but it's like their major. And for, to go through that qualifying and that pressure and get through the match play rounds and win it, I wouldn't bet my money against Dombrowski. And a guy like D-Ron Booker, with his attitude and the way he tried to relax himself by just he said, "I'm going to enjoy this moment." I mean, you know, he was putting his focus in a positive manner. I don't think that changes if it's Belmonte. I don't think it's like, oh, here's the greatest of all time. No, it's like, I'm going to enjoy this moment. And if I win, then I know I've beaten the best in the world.
Well, that first that first shot was horrible. And he even said, boy, they make this look a lot easier on TV, you know, than when you actually had TV. He kind of joked about it, came back smiling, made the spare. Then he loosened up a little bit. And then once he got the first strike, then he kind of went into business mode a little bit, like, okay, that was fun. Now let's get serious and get down to business here. And they kept talking about it on the broadcast, too, about how serious he looked. But he's trying to win that damn thing. He should look serious, Dwight.
Yeah, I mean, it's $100,000. It's life-changing. You know, it's one tournament. One other thing, after he won the tournament, Sparky, they reposted on Facebook him and his doubles partner, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong again, Phil, that they currently have the lead at USBC Nationals.
They won it last year at the USBC Nationals.
That video they showed was last year's?
That's last year. Yep. So and they had a terrible start, and they both came back with like 280s and 250s to come back and win the title. So, I mean, D-Ron's done so much bowling over the years. Now, the last couple of years, he's been in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He's running a pro shop at one of the bowling centers that's, I believe, tied in with a casino there. He's very comfortable. He's had more opportunities to bowl. He didn't bowl the last two stops, and unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to ask him because we were so caught up in his travel problems getting to Detroit. I didn't ask him why he skipped the last two PTQs in Indiana and Delaware, where there was just scheduling and he needed to be back at work, that type of thing. Because he came close early in the year, he didn't get it. You know, that was the first tournament cut he made to match play. The rest of the tournaments, he hasn't even gotten out of PTQ this year. Wow! So to just be able to go home, have time to work on his game, had that long break. I mean, it was basically almost 6 weeks between when he stopped bowling PTQs and the start of the Masters. And the guy just keeps working on things, and it's a simple game, so a lot of mechanics don't get out of place. And you know, you hate to use the term old school, but you look at that style, it's kind of old school, and it lets him play a part of the lane. And Dombrowski was kind of there too, farther right than the guys that can wheel and deal it.
I mean, even the backswing was like cut in half compared to a lot of guys on tour.
Yeah.
Right. Come on, guys. Right. You gotta think about this. Doesn't he look like someone that was like, you know, the GOAT of all time back in the 70s? But a right-handed version of it? Doesn't he look like Earl Anthony a little? That's what I put on my notes, right-handed Earl Anthony.
That's pushing it, in my opinion. The timing's different, and I mean, but the softness.
Yeah, Earl had the quiet head. D-Ron's got a super quiet head. Mm-hmm. Earl had that little shorter backswing with a little bent elbow, and Earl had that heavy forward roll on the ball, very little axis rotation and tilt, and that's D-Ron. So That's what I saw when I watched him right away. I'm like, holy cow, right-handed Earl Anthony.
Okay, hold on a second now. I'm not going to argue with Dwight on any type of nerd stuff like this. I'm not going to do it. And I'm a little bit younger. I mean, I remember watching Earl Anthony, but it was more towards the end of his career. Brylo, you weren't as hip to hit the comparison. Where are you struggling on a comparison?
Just because Earl was a lot. Earl did so many things different than other lefties that he could change his role in that kind of. You'd see tournaments where Earl would be the only lefty in the match play round, and then he'd go on and he'd win the tournament. I just don't see the form and the timing. It's a little different, especially with how it's a short backswing, but how aggressively the arm swing, the follow through comes up. I mean, Earl's follow through stopped in front of his face. Earl's follow through never got to here. So D-Ron, it's that full follow through the arm. You watch the arm. Right. It's that positioning in front of the eyeball. And there's some similarities, but I never thought of right-handed Earl. I mean, it's just, it's old school. I can't pin it on one person.
Old school.
Yeah. I just can't pin it onto a single person that's what it looks like. So
that's, it's refreshing, I guess, from the people that hate two-handed bowlers to see Dombrowski and D-Ron there at the end. Playing for a title, both kind of with the old school style of how they throw the basketball. None of the two-handed stuff, none of the super high rev rate stuff necessarily.
But the crazy thing, Sparky, is reading comments on Facebook, people loved it.
Yeah, you know,
they loved to see the change. They were sick of seeing the lofting, the gutter capping. I read a lot of that. Hey, no lofting, gutter capping with this guy, you know, type of deal. But people loved it. They love seeing that new unknown bowler come in. I mean, what I put in my notes is talk about the Cinderella story during March Madness. You know, it was still in March when he won. It wasn't for basketball. It had a ball involved. It was just bowling. It was like the guy hit the lottery for the trifecta, walking out of there with $100,000 and in Vegas on top of it.
And then Vegas took all the money back at the airport. Well, he got stranded because of travel.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's one thing that's always been that way with the Masters is just so many guys that have been through they get their one hot tournament at the Masters and they get through and they get the match play at the right time and the right guys and knock them off. And, you know, there's some guys that have won you've never heard of again, like Jason Queen back in the late 90s. He tried some stops, very successful at the regional level, but just never made that breakthrough.
Rick Steelsmith
as well. Yeah. Who's a great coach at Wichita State. Yeah. You know, we saw it in 2015 in Green Bay where AJ Johnson had his chance for his big breakthrough. And then it took him almost nine more years to break through and actually grab a PBA Tour title.
Right.
So he could have almost been one of those, you know, here's your shining star and it just fades instantly. Whether it happens with D-Ron Booker, I hope it doesn't. Hopefully his struggles that he had in the Roth-Holman doubles go away for the main World Series of Bowling starting on Monday. He's in the main field. He doesn't have to deal with the PTQ. He can get a few days of rest, work on a couple of things, and hopefully he gets into a couple of the match play brackets. And, you know, that's the good news now with the animal patterns is it's back to best of five matches in a bracket. So if you're that kind of fan, Tuesday night, Thursday night, Saturday night, get yourself Bowl TV, and you're going to be able to watch when they do the Cheetah, the Chameleon and the Shark match players, best of five bracket till they get to the final four. And then whoever the highest losing seed in the round eight is will make the fifth player on those shows.
Yeah, so, looking forward to that for sure. I got a question. Again, it's three white guys talking, so it is what it is. but D-Ron Booker, the third guy only to do this. I'm trying to figure out why. I mean, you're at the PTQs. I mean, how many African-Americans are you seeing at PTQs consistently?
I probably say three, depending on the event, 3 to 10, depending on the location of the event and such.
I wonder why that is. Because, again, baseball can be an expensive sport. When you start getting into travel baseball and stuff like that, okay, mm-hmm. fine. So there are some expensive sports. Everybody says, well, basketball is as popular as it is. It's not as expensive. You know, you grab a basketball, go play with your guys, whatever. Golf for a long time, obviously had nobody. Tiger Woods kind of rejuvenated that a little bit. But that's an expensive sport, too. That's really expensive. Talking about paying for clubs and everything else. Bowling doesn't, to me, seem to be that as expensive of a sport. I mean, you can have a ball that can last you forever. And go open bowling isn't all that expensive either. I guess I'm just kind of surprised that there hasn't been more success or more participation from, you know, the African-American demographic in this sport.
And the thing is, there are thousands of African-American big hitter bowlers that are out there. I my one and only Super Hoinky back in 1985, I saw at least 20 to 30 there in Ohio that had pro-like games, incredible games that got very far into the tournament. When you go down south, Sparky, they have their own tournaments. What is it called, Phil? The TNT or TNN or something like
that? The National Bowling Association is kind of – it started as its own bowling association back in the 30s that was called the Negro Bowling Association. And then because back in the day you could not be – you had to be a Caucasian to be a member of the ABC or WIBC. And that lasted until like 1951. And so that tradition still continues with the National Bowling Association. They have some big tournaments nationally every year, like the Roadman Tournament. I believe they just had a couple of locations on there as well. And there's some big traveling leagues and such that have a lot of money going out.
Yes.
And brackets and stuff like that. I know there was one. There used to be one that was Milwaukee, Chicago, Detroit, Rockford, Gary, Indiana. I mean, there were, and it was like teams of like 20 players from each city that would bowl like four. They had bring four teams and they'd have these big competitions on a monthly basis and they travel to each city. And there was a way that some bowlers that they could make their living that way as well.
Yes. Great point.
To get on the tour, back in the 70s, 80s and 90s, to get out there, there was a lot of guys that either had family sponsoring them or they had a business. I mean, there were some businessmen back in the 80s and 90s that were sponsoring several bowlers to get them out on tour to find the one that would, you know, hey, you bet on more than one horse, you got a better chance of cashing at the pay window. You know, yes. just like horse racing, you know, here's your trifecta and, you know, you try that. So that's part of it as well, is that back in the day, it was a large financial commitment and some of these players just could not get the sponsorship together for many different reasons.
Phil,
and that's why you didn't see a lot of them.
Yeah, Phil brings up a great point that maybe these guys, Sparky, are making enough money on the side for bowling that they don't need to think about the tour. New Berlin Bowl hosts a tournament every year. It's called Yank and Pull. We had it this year. And I've never seen guys bowl for that amount of money in one given day. They're all police officers and firefighters from Chicago. They come up to New Berlin Bowl and they bowl one tournament. And we heard when we came back for league that night that one of the guys walked out of there with $11,000.
Dang.
One day.
I remember subbing a couple times in the Tetonia 2+3 after it moved to Bolero.
Right.
Wauwatosa.
There's a big
one. I mean, you could, you know, the money in the, you know, you paid your league fee and you got something back in the season. But the side action, you could pay like 25 or 50 bucks, 25, 30 bucks in side action. And if you had a really good night, you could walk out with like a mid three, like $500-$600.
Yes.
If you had a really good night.
Ivy Morehouse was in that league.
Well, yeah, and there's still guys nowadays like Phil Dorsey and DJ Cole. I mean, there's so many of them that I'm blanking on because I haven't bowled with them in a few years, and I apologize. But, you know, the talent was there, but these guys travel to these other tournaments and that type of thing. And, you know, a lot of people don't know the Roadmen. A lot of people don't know the history of the TNBA.
No chance. Right?
And what's involved. Yeah. And so, yeah, and that's part of the situation that, you know, the money's there. They're just getting it in a different fashion. And for a lot of years, especially in the early 2000s, it was just tough to get on tour. It was tough to be exempt. It's going to be that way again next year. It's going to be tough to get on tour. D-Ron's lucky. Boy, talk about cashing your ticket at the pay window at the right time. 43 players are going to be exempt next year, and he's one of them because he's got enough points from his Masters win. He's locked in that 43 because that's a major. You're locked into an exemption for next year. And so he doesn't have to do what some of these guys – are going to do, especially guys that haven't won in a while, like a Ronnie Russell or something like that. Ronnie's having a terrible year. Ronnie could be bowling the tour trials in August to try to save his career.
Yeah, if he wants to, if he doesn't walk away. He is Phil Brilo. Follow him at Brew City Bowling. Dwight Albrecht over there at New Berlin Bowl. Follow him at Dewey 300. Of course, you can follow me at Sparky Radio. Check out our Milwaukee Bucks post-game show, Pottawatomie Sportsbook Pro Hoops post-game show, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM, The Fan on your radio dial. And if you're a Bucks fan living in different parts of the country, can't listen to it on the radio, you can always stream it on your Odyssey app. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Had a good time. We'll do this again next week. Have a good one. Toodles!